So Father, we give you all the praise, knowing that you've been here and you are here, and that you're in our midst, revealing to us truth to establish us in the destiny that you always saw for us, that we might live through Christ Jesus, that we might reflect Christ Jesus, that we might look like Christ Jesus, because we were designed, intended to bear your image. And since Christ Jesus came into the world, became flesh, and showed us exactly what you looked like, we now have the privilege to look like our daddy. And we thank you for that. We receive that in Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Please be seated. Good evening, good evening, good evening. So we're gonna spend a couple minutes, one of my favorite times of the week, and I'm gonna ask my brother pastors to get their designated positions, grab their microphones. And it's Wednesday night. Anybody grow up going to prayer meeting? So folks, some of y'all went to prayer meeting, right? Some of y'all went to prayer meeting, right? We need to bring it back. We need to bring it back. I promise we need to bring it back. So here's what we're gonna do tonight. We're gonna spend just a couple of seconds together. You think we get some lights in the house for the sake of, since we're gonna be in the audience here for the next few minutes? This week, if you've been blessed thus far, if you have a praise, a prayer, request, or a testimony, we ask you to share it with us. A praise, a prayer request, or a testimony, we'd like to share it with us for the edification of the body corporate. Is that all right? Is that all right? Huh? Church ain't a performance, right? It's all of us together. So we got our brothers with microphones here. I'm gonna ask you, anybody raise a hand. And I just wanna ask you to, share from your heart, but, share in keeping with the, don't be me. Let's put it that way. Don't be me. Don't be long-winded, yeah? Do as I say, not as I do. So we got our brother George is here with the microphone. Got Greg back here. And a show for anybody, and this is where we will awkwardly wait you out. Yes, of course. Christian. Amen. Amen.
That being with my brothers and sisters, and for that to be a positive thing that God can use, really matters that I've been in that secret place with the Lord. Mm-hmm. So that's my testimony tonight.
Absolutely. Amen. Thanks for sharing that. Anybody been in the secret place lately? Well, folks, good stuff, man. Good living in there. Oh, I'll wait.
Wow. This last week and a half has been like mind-blowing. I mean, because God was starting before Love Reality Tour, but a few days ago while I was here, I felt like a piece of garlic clove in the mincer press thingy, and the Holy Spirit brought on me and came over me and showed me to what I could understand, and I could sense what Christ had went through on the cross. And I could see like all the stuff that I've been struggling, and it was in his body, and he put it and he died. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit just downloaded, the best way I can describe it, is a new operating system in my soul. He has moved me from one glory to the next, and I've had so much peace. And it just started with God using an experience I was going through that just put me through a storm. And through that, just seeking him in the secret place and then coming here and then the Holy Spirit doing that. And I am not the Brian that I was a few days ago.
Amen.
And some of you know me, and somebody came or was telling me that even my voice has changed, and I didn't even know that was going on. And when my caregiver saw the difference, she said that there was light coming out of my eyes. She could see that there's something different, and she had been longing for seeing me in a better place. She described it that sometimes she'd have to pour me out of the store sometimes, or pour me into the car, and that, you know, we would have to, it took like hours for me to be ready for the day because of where I was at. And one of the things that I had struggled with the last few years is my identity. And God showed me that, you are who I say you are. You are my son, you are my messenger, and you're a friend to mankind. And I'm just so thankful for what God has done, and that's what's been on my mind. It's just, I'm so thankful.
Awesome. Thanks, Brian. Anybody celebrate that? All right. That's all right.
Mine's really simple. My name is Danny, and I guess it's just a simple phrase. I don't need to be seen by others because I am seen by God.
Yeah, amen. There's one in the back there, my sister.
I'm going to hide in the back here so the person I'm going to tattle on can't see me.
All right.
About a week and a half ago, my daughter came to me and basically dropped a bombshell on me. She's been traveling down a path that I wasn't thrilled with, but because I love her and I wanted to show her unconditional love, I just accepted and kept praying. Dear Lord, she wanted to be baptized when she was 8, and she was baptized, and she gave her life to you, and I just ask that you grab a hold of her and never let her go. No matter how hard she stretches the boundaries, just keep a hold of her. And so this past Sunday, a week ago this Sunday, she came to me and said, Mom, I feel like I'm being told my life needs to go into another direction, that I'm just not where I should be. And I've felt this way since I went to Oshkosh International Camporee this summer, and I just really feel like I need to be going somewhere else. And I want to transfer out of public school and go to Portland Adventist Academy. And so she transferred. We actually had a record transfer. I called Monday morning, and by 3 o'clock Monday afternoon, she was transferred and enrolled in school and started Wednesday morning. Amen. She's been there just, today was 1 week. She started last Wednesday, so this has been her complete week that she's had. She's having a great time. She's loving it. She's been coming to these series every night, and it's just making a huge change in her life, and I just praise God that He never has let go of her, and that He told her in her heart, even though she didn't realize it was Him at the time, that He was her, that she was His, and He was loved her for no matter where she was, and that He was never letting go.
Amen. That's awesome. Yeah. Hey, there's Rachel.
So, hilariously, that was my mother.
Hi,
I'm Rachel Cairns. As my mom just said, I transferred 1 week ago to Portland Adventist Academy. I was told by my friend Timothy here to come to these meetings because he really wanted me to come and see them. So I came on Friday, and everything was good, and everything was fine, and like I was really enjoying it. I watched the live stream Saturday morning because we had a Pathfinder Sabbath meeting that I had to go to, that mom needed my help for. So Saturday evening I came and it's fine.
No, Tyler and Morgan was in the morning.
Okay, well, don't remember who told the story, but I remember that it really put an impression on me, and then I came on Monday and BB told her story. And BB's story reminded me so much of my own that I broke down crying, and I just remember feeling the arms of peace and love and hope surrounding me that I haven't felt since I was very young. When I was, 4 or 5, I would literally sit and talk with God on my bed. He would sit right next to me and we would just have a conversation. And I have been, through the power of these meetings and through the power of the Holy Spirit, I actually, for the first time in a very long time, I was able to sit and just have that face-to-face conversation again. And I was able to see him again and say, hi, you care for me and you're here for me and love me. And it's just been so liberating to be here and be able to tell, be able to have my soul be shown and being accepted and received and said, you are loved. We don't care what happened in your past, what you've done, where you've been, but we care where you are now and that you are here and that you are loved. And it's just been one great journey.
Amen. Yeah. Brother Yuri? Yeah, man, just remember the time limit.
All right. Hi, I'm Yuri. Thanks to Daniel. I met Jonathan while I was working for a charitable organization downtown. I was feeling really low about myself. He says to me, the Spirit told him to come and talk to me. And then things got kind of weird in my head. It was weird. It was like, it was psychedelic you know, you said that. It was like, it is psychedelic in your Jonathan voice. Which I can't do. Anyway, I just want to thank you all for like hosting this. This is such a beautiful community, and I'm really, really grateful to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. You're right behind me. Yeah. There it is, Cindy. Hey.
Hi. None of you really know me, but my name is Cynthia, and I'm from Coeur d'Alene. And I kind of consider myself in some ways a Jonathan and Christian groupie. But I realized tonight that it really is, I'm a Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus Christ groupie.
Amen. So Cynthia is a beloved one of ours from Coeur d'Alene, and Coeur d'Alene has just happened to be the meetings that we came from last before coming here, and I believe that was the same back at the beginning of the year, and Cynthia came to the meetings in Idaho, and she got radically transformed throughout hearing gospel, and she journeyed through the move for quite some time, and she's like, I got to go to Portland. Because I kept telling her about PVC. I kept telling people, like, oh, it's at PVC. She's like, I got to go to PVC. So here she is. Anybody else? Yeah, welcome. See, welcome. You're welcome, yeah. Anybody else? Yeah.
I'll keep it short. Yeah. I struggled with a lot of abuse and a lot of troubling things that kept me down in life. Didn't talk to a lot of family members and talk to a lot of people. Started going to Bible study with Hui and Bibi. They found this church I followed. And then you guys came along earlier this year. Talked about identity, who I am in Christ, and that's the only thing that matters. And it freed me. I got baptized. Hui was like, what are you waiting for? I'm like, you're right. And then ever since then, before you guys came, I've been connecting with my dad. Been validated through Christ, so I've been following my dream of being a cop, going through a lot of things, and then God put people into my life to keep that moving forward, and then you guys come back around this year, and it's just been a big old circle to keep me on track.
Yeah, thanks, Jay. Yeah. We've seen this young man grow incredibly in the last 7 to 8 months. It's just been awesome to see it and to come back and see the community and the young adults foster and grow and establish somebody, right? Because, you know, a seed gets planted in a field, right? A seed gets planted in a field, yeah? Oh, right here, one here.
My name is Pam, I just wanted to let you know that I had some horrific marks on me. And when Pastor George, the other night, I think it was Sunday night or Sunday night, I think, Pastor George made a call to come up front. And I came up front, and I confessed my marks to him, and I was crying like crazy, and I have felt totally different ever since.
Amen. Amen. Holy Spirit will deliver. Amen. Amen.
So I was just praying, like, Spirit, if you want me to share, please make it you and not me, because I'm just a really extroverted person, so sometimes I can't tell if it's just me.
That's such an awesome. Thank you for that honesty.
Truth.
That's so good.
I found PVC in October of last year, and I was in a really different place than I am now. I was, I had been pathologically seeking relationships for 4 years, and I had an eating disorder, and none of that, by the way, I was willing to admit to myself or anyone else. And I was absolutely taken in by this community and loved into my identity. I moved in with Ray and Penny Ammon in January of last year, and they really birthed me into my identity in a big way. And right after I moved over there, Love Reality Tour came to Portland. And much like Josh, everything that hadn't made sense about spirituality my whole life, like, why is it here and not here? Why is it up here and doesn't affect my life and doesn't help me at all? It all just kind of was unraveled in a way that made sense. Like, it all came unmystified and made complete sense, and just, I was free from all of those things, everything, completely. And I got baptized in June, and I'm just really grateful.
Amen. Amen. We're gonna ask the boys to come up. And we want to sing a song that is, I think, well known already, and it's one that we, did y'all see Yona trying to get to the piano? Wasn't that so cute? He's like, no, I can do this. He's like, they need help. There's nobody here. So good. And I want you to take special attention to the lyrics. I mean, we've heard them a ton. We've sang them a ton. But just know that we are the body, right? We are the body. And the marks that we used to carry in our former lives are done away with in Christ Jesus. But the reason that this body remains is to remind individual bodies what they actually belong to and who they are. So we encourage one another continually through Spirit, in song, in prayers, in thanksgiving, coming together and actually doing this, right? It's good for us to hear prayers and testimonies and praises to God. It can't be here. It can't just be here where we come and we receive and we learn things. It has to be here, right? Like, Jay wouldn't have grown had there not been a community around to actually establish him and grow him up, right? And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that as a body now, right, we need to be able to let go of some marks and identify in some other ways as a corporate body, right? And so this song that we're going to sing is about our corporate body aligned with Christ Jesus. And just in light of just this moment of, like, together as a corporate body, just again, let these words fall afresh. And let's sing them like it's the first time, all right? And yeah, and stay seated, but if you want, get up, whatever, sing at the top of your lungs.
People come together, strangers and neighbors, our blood is one.
Fellas, good stuff, huh? Hey, yeah, go ahead, give yourself a hand clap. Give him a hand clap. You're good, man. You good? Oh, yeah, let me trouble you for this stool here. Okay, so Will, the Wills, we got Bibles, we got papers, we got pens. Tyler, if you could get there, right? We got to hand all of these out. We got a few minutes we're going to spend together, and we're going to get these things right here. Yep. Hey, fellas, how about y'all give me a hand, huh? Right? There you go. Hand those out. Everybody get a pen. All right. Give us a hand up if you need Bible. If you need a Bible, give us a hand up and we'll bring you a Bible. Bible in the back. Need Bibles. Why don't you have these sheets? Bible in the back, Will, right there. I think over by Tyler, there's another Bible that needs. Everybody get these sheets, get these pens. All right. We're going to talk about who wrote that song? Joel Houston. Joel Houston. Yeah. Yeah, he's Australian. He's Australian. Yeah. Everybody get a sheet, get a pen. We're going to dive in. Want to make sure y'all got them. Cynthia needs something. Everybody got a sheet. Everybody got a pen. Everybody have a Bible. Turn with me to Matthew 18. We've been there in wave one. We're going to establish a part of it here in wave two now. Turn with me to Matthew 18. Turn with me to Matthew 18. Thank you, brother. Matthew 18. We're going to talk corporate lies. We're going to talk corporate lies that have marked this body and things we need to just get undone. Corporate lies. So I want to make sure that you guys are going to write them down. Hey, give me one of. Anybody, everybody good? Good. You guys ever been caught cheating, like, in school? You ever been caught cheating in school? Oh, boy. Nah, y'all were too good? Y'all were too good? You're too good? Yeah. Yes! Yes! Man, did I tell y'all the story about the time I got caught cheating? Right? So I was like a sophomore. Yo, Will, I think you might have been in this class. I promise you, I've done so much life with this knucklehead. So we were in Bible class. You were there. Yes, I was cheating in Bible class. This is how this story's beginning. So we were in Bible class, right? And we had a memory verse exam. And I did not know said memory verse that we were going to get examined for, but I knew where said memory verse could be found. So I went to the Bible and I opened said memory verse where it was at. And, it was those thin leaf Bibles, right? Like the real holy pages. You guys know the ones, right? Not like these $1 pages you guys got, these common pages. You know, the real holy ones, the ones that are real thin and nice. And I saw the Bible verse there. I can't remember what it was, but I tore that Bible verse out of the Bible, all right? I promise you what, that first tear, I was just waited. I was like, now I'm good. Okay, I tore a little more. I was like, well, the roof didn't come off, so there must be five holy in here. Yeah, so he's not bringing destruction on the whole city. See, the laughter was actually a test to know how many of y'all been reading your Old Testament. Right, because there was a reference there. Right? It's in Genesis.
like chapter 17 or something. So anyway, I ripped it up, and then I did the most Dominican thing ever, right? Because Dominicans, man, when we go to do something, I don't know why, but Dominicans will lick their hands where they slap something or something, right? All right, somebody said, yep, yeah. You know Dominicans. You do, yeah. She was like, yep, they're Dominican. That's awesome. So I licked my hand and slapped the memory verse right in there, right? And just had it stick. And I'm in Bible class, like, and here's the thing, those thin pages, man, they dry out quick. And once that, I didn't notice it was drying out. Once that thing dried out, man, when somebody came, walked by, and it just blew in the wind. Yeah, you already know, just, right? And that was the gradual descent. Like, just as that piece of paper dropped, right? So was my life about to drop in a second. Bible teacher came, I remember it was Mr. Ward. Yeah. And he came around and he sees it on the floor. He's like, and it's right by my feet. He's like, Jonathan, what's this? I was like, I don't know what that is. All right? Just like I used to tell my mama, it's Wills. I was like, it's Wills, Mr. Ward. I was like, nah, I didn't say that. I was like, I don't know. And he's like, well, Jonathan, it just happens to be the today's memory verse. I was like, do you believe in miracles, Mr. Ward? The Lord wants me to pass this quiz. He was like, no, go to the principal's office. I was like, I mean, I got to go to Oshag Hennessy's office? He's like, yeah. But, well, yeah, that was another test. Some of y'all got that, too. So I went to the principal's office, and, man, the principal, he was like, you need to apologize. I was like, all right. And Mr. Ward, I can't remember. I just know that I was not going to be allowed in again until I apologized. Right? And so I did this wrong, and I was not going to have access again until I apologized. And I remember I was kind of hot about that. Thanks, Will. I was kind of hot about that because I was like, so you going to say, I pay to come to school here, and you're going to make me do this thing to come in, right? Like, yeah, we got to require this of you you got to apologize. I'm like, oh, man. Matthew 18. You know the story of Matthew 18. We talked about this in wave one when we talked about the reality of forgiveness, right? And in Matthew 18, there's a story of this, of a king, verse 23, Matthew 18, verse 23. There's a king who's settling accounts, and as he's settling these accounts, you remember that there's a gentleman who owes him quite a bit of money, right? And just to rehash the story, we went through this in wave one, but he comes to the king, and you see what he says there? He says, verse 25, since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had to make payment. And the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him the debt. So out of pity for him, the master released him. And you know how the story goes. This guy goes up, leaves, and what does he do? He finds somebody who owes him just a small fraction of what he owed the king. And what does he do? Puts his hands around his neck, chokes him, like, give me my money, right? And then we bring out this point. Was that man justified in actually asking for that small fraction of money to be paid back to him? He was absolutely justified. You know why? Because he was owed that money. You with me? Was he justified in actually shaking the mess out of this guy for a fraction of the money he had been forgiven? He was absolutely justified because the man owed him that money. But in the eyes of the king was like, nah, son. Why? Because how could you go and then demand from somebody something that I gave you for free in a greater measure? You with me? Here's corporate lie. I'm gonna be straight. Here's corporate lie number one. Corporate lie number one. Y'all can write it down. I ain't gonna write it. Requiring an apology for us to be okay. Requiring an apology for us to be okay. That brother went out and was like, give me what you owe me. Was he justified? Yeah. But he had been made right. So why, if he's made right, he requires this external thing from somebody else for him to be okay and for him to be good? I saw on the internet the other day, and I wish I'd put it up. It's on here if I remember, if I could find it. I saw on the internet the other day this image of, I'm gonna write it down. I saw this image on how to apologize. Has anybody seen this? This image on how to apologize is by some. So how to apologize. Number one, express sorrow, right? Express sorrow. Number two, own the guilt, right? So this is, you know, I'm sorry. This is, I'm wrong, right? Number three is name the specific wrong. So I'm sorry and I'm wrong for doing, right? Name the impact, right? So I'm sorry I hurt you. I'm sorry I betrayed you. I'm sorry I violated you, whatever it is, right? And no if, like, well, I'm sorry that I, that's what it is. No ifs, right? I'm sorry that I did this. I'm sorry that I did that. We together? Yeah, this is how to apologize, right? This is a good one. If you have any Friends fans, is, sorry, that's a, oh boy. That's a D, that's a D. Yep. Don't blame shift, right? Blame shift is, you know, I'm sorry if I, but you, right? That's blame shifting, right? You guys ever seen that Friends episode? You're a blame shifter. You're blame shifting. Huh? I think Monica says that. And then the last one is, make amends. All right, the last one is make amends. Now, this is really, really good. This is really, really good. I saw this and I was like, man, that's fantastic. So make amends is what I can do. Now look at this list, y'all. If y'all can read it. Yay. When you get a bird's eye view out of it, it's like, oh my. So express sorrow. I'm sorry that I did this wrong. What the heck? Yeah. Name specific wrong. Like, I'm sorry that I hurt you, right? Here's what I can do. So name it. No, I thought this is good, right? It's really, really good. I showed it to a friend of mine. Matter of fact, yeah. I showed it to a friend of mine. And as I showed it to him, and this is a friend that is, it's a Holy Spirit filled man. I showed it to him and I said, what do you think? He says to me, that's fantastic. He's like, that's beautiful, right? Because it's good. And then I asked him this. Oh, but then he said this. He's like, but it's too close to deception. And I said, why? He goes, because then we make that a checklist of what we require somebody for them to get our forgiveness. Can I just be real frank? You don't need an apology for you to be okay, and you don't need an apology for you to extend forgiveness. Because you imagine if Jesus needed an apology on the cross to unite us back into his body? I mean, think about that. He's on the cross, and he's like, well, God, we done everything here. If they would just at least acknowledge, if they would just at least see, Then maybe we have some reconciliation. No. An apology is very, very necessary for us to know that that person is moving towards okay. Not for us to be okay. You see the difference? Like, if somebody has caused harm to the body of Christ, do we require them to apologize for us to be okay? No, because then they're Lord. Check out the nuance. But we certainly want to see a heartfelt apology for us to see that they are safe for the community. It's the difference between us seeing them in flesh and us seeing them in spirit. Seeing them in flesh requires a thing for our flesh to be satisfied from them. Seeing them in spirit is to position them as a child, standing in truth and hoping that they might walk in the truth of who they are as well. And one of the indicators would be if they actually express this. But that's on them. It's not for us. Is that all right? Are y'all understanding the nuance I'm saying? I had a conversation recently with some beloved of mine. And I had to name it real quick. I counted the cost. And I had to tell him, you don't need an apology for you to be okay. Because if you need an apology for you to be okay, then you're always in need of something that you don't already have. You've positioned yourself in scarcity when forgiveness and abundance is already yours. Do not position yourself in needing something for you to be okay. Be discerning of something to see if somebody else is safe and trustworthy, but you don't need it. This is what Jesus tells about being innocent as doves, but what? Wise as serpents. So I don't need, because I'm innocent like a dove, but I'm discerning because I'm wise like a serpent. Is that okay? Is that all right? Okay. I've been Adventist a long time. I've been part of churches a long time. And I've seen things held over people. And I've seen it weaponized against people. And then we need to be okay unless they, nah. Jesus died on the cross and he calls you his. You're okay. Period. I promise you, it's the cross period or it's nothing else. You don't need somebody else for you to be okay. You don't need your wife for you to be okay. You don't need your husband for you to be okay. You have the privilege of being in covenant, and since you're okay, you can actually love one another and not seek your own, so that you actually manifest what marriage is, which is faithful gospel covenant, where we don't look. If I could just say a word about the way we communicate love, right? I know that God's love is unconditional in the sense that he holds nothing over us, yeah? He doesn't require. He just wants us to believe and receive his love because by love, love is awakened. I read that somewhere. And so, since by love, love is awakened, here's the condition of love. Love will always love. So love, and this is just my heart here, love is not without condition. Love has a condition. Let me tell you, you know what the condition of love is? Love. Watch. Before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was already slain. Then he did it in reality. That was the condition. So that when you and I fell from our position and the curse was upon us, they had already decided us to love us through it. So that when we fell, their condition was that they would love us in spite of it, because that's what love does. So God's love was, and this is theological terms not here, God's love is actually foreconditional. Because prior to, it counted the cost and it decided that it was going to do its thing anyway. You with me? So I totally get it when we say unconditional. Absolutely. I absolutely get it. All right? And I'm in full agreement with the sentiment. Please don't hear this as anything else, and please don't hear this wrongly. I'm totally in agreement with the sentiment of what we mean for unconditional. But let me press you a little bit. That love is actually for conditional because it counted the cost prior to, and it was going to let nothing move it from being love. So love has no other option than actually moving the way that it is. It's patient, it's kind, it's not easily provoked. Watch this. It keeps record of no wrong. So if it keeps record of no wrong, why would it require an apology for it to be okay? And if we bear the image of God, then we become love because that's his character. And if we become love, we don't need somebody else's something for us to be okay. But we use wisdom to make sure that harm doesn't come in because love has already made a promise that it would love. So it's wise, but it doesn't need. Is that all right? Let's move on to the next one. Number two. And you know what? Just because I'm sensing this, tomorrow let's have some question and answer so we can open up this dialogue. All right? Because if we can't discuss it in this place, where can we discuss it honestly? Like, let's be willing to do that. So I'm going to open it up. Corporate lie number two. I'm gonna use a theological term here, but hopefully y'all get it. All right, corporate lie number two. Dualism. Dualism. Right. This idea of people talk about, you know, I hear it put it this way, like people. Well, Jonathan, we have two natures. Or better yet, you hear it in the Proverbs or the anecdotes that are told. It's like, you have two wolves living inside. You guys heard this version? And there's a white wolf and there's a black wolf. Right? And depending which one you feed is the one that, right? Can we go to the book? Go to Ezekiel 36. Yay! Can somebody shout out the page? Because my head is in a scramble. 22. What? 422. Thank you. Sometimes I'll be thinking about something to say, and as I'm looking for the book, I'll be in the New Testament trying to find the book of Kings. I'm like, I swear it's around here somewhere. Ezekiel 36, yeah? You there with me? This is lie number two. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. Watch this. This is so good. Okay. I get excited. Okay. You remember when we started? If you remember in wave one, like our first few messages was like, you're free from sin. Romans chapter 6, Hebrews 10, John chapter 8, basically the whole New Testament, right? We're like, you're free from sin and death, and the real problem is unbelief. Right? Like, that's the real problem amongst the church. It's not sin. Why? Because unbelief is the thing that keeps us from actually entering Sabbath rest. Uh-huh. Okay. I thought Adventists would be like, amen. That's all right. Right? Because, listen, y'all been part of them churches that keep Sabbath in unbelief. Because they keep the Sabbath in relationship to an end time scenario in hopes of being saved when it's time for the sealing and all of this. Like, that's all cool, but I promise you, if your Sabbath relationship is in light of a prophetic end time telling, then you have actually found the rest that lets you know that you never come into judgment, and that young, now we're older, and we've never seen the righteous forsaken or begging for bread, and that if I run into the mountains or the valleys, or yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know who's with me. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying to you? Listen, I had a friend, watch. Her husband, before he got converted, you know, this is his mentality. And I agreed with it so much because I grew up this way too, where he's like, here was my plan. He's like, when the end time would come and somebody would hold a gun in my head and be like, are you going to renounce the Sabbath? He's like, I was just going to say no, let it be done in a minute, and I'm in heaven. Right? And like on the other side of gospel, I'm like, that is stupid, right? But I gotta admit, I had the same idea. I was gonna stay faithful, right? And that was the thing that was gonna count me in. No, the thing that counts me in is that he's been faithful. And I rest in his faithfulness, right? And because I rest in his faithfulness, I know that when the time comes, I'm gonna be all right, right? Because if he takes care of the sparrows, you think he ain't gonna take care of me? After he done told me I'm his son and that I was worth the blood of Jesus Christ, you think he ain't gonna take care of us? Come on now, who y'all think we serve, right? So, watch what he says. He's freed us, right? Romans 6, he freed us. And he freed us through what? He freed us through our participation. He freed us through Christ Jesus' death. But we participate in it through baptism, yeah? We good? Baptism, the dunking in water, yeah? Yeah? Look at Ezekiel 36, 25. This is so good. 25, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness, and from all your idols, I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So he's going to remove the heart of stone, that's unbelief, and give us a new heart of flesh. So if the old heart of stone is the heart that was ruled by sin and the power of death, and we were unclean before we were washed by his word, and now we're washed by his word, and we've been given a new heart, how much of the old is inside along with the new? Well, you know, we're always going to be this. No, we not. The book says he's going to take it out and put a new thing in. You're either one thing or another. You're not both at the same time. This is basic law of logic. It is the law of non-contradiction. A can't be B and B be A. Yeah? Yeah? Anybody here? The three laws of logic? You cannot have A, B, B, and B, B, A. This is a pernicious idea that came by way of Greek philosophy, that you're simultaneously dirty while being simultaneously clean. No, you not. You are clean because you live through spirit while still being in a Adam 1 body. But this body is dead because of what Christ has done. So it's dead. It's dead. But you're alive. There's a clear difference here. We're not both at the same time. A thing that's dead does not exist. It just isn't. I don't know how to escape this. You ever seen a thing that's sort of dead? Look, you seen a sort of dead thing? Okay. ain't no such thing as a sort of dead thing. It's either dead or it's not. Your body, your old life is dead. Dead. D-E-A-D, dead. And you are alive in this new thing. Go to Romans 7. We've done this before, but I just got to show this again. I mean, it's so clear. I know why, because I used to have this theology. Romans 7:5, yeah? You guys there with me, page 549? Probably I'll finish here, move on to the third line. Do that one in just a couple seconds, a couple minutes. 7:5, for while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. Let me read that again. While we were living where? While we were living where? While we were living where? It's in the flesh that you have this double-minded, the whole thing that he goes on later on, it's in the flesh. Just turn the page. Romans 8, verse 9. Romans 8, verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh. You're not in the flesh. You're in the spirit. if in fact the Spirit of Christ lives within you. Now, here's what you can be. You can be double-minded because you don't believe the truth of who you are. You're double-minded because you don't believe the truth of who you are. I've seen animals that have been raised by a different animal behave like the animal that they've been raised by. You ever seen that? You seen those videos? Right? I can't think of a good example right now, but I've seen like an animal be a part of a different, and it try to behave like it. Y'all seen this? Yeah, there was a cat recently, right? What was it doing? It was like, you have a cat, your aunt has a cat that acts like a dog. We're going to break it free in the name of Jesus. You can do that. Tell it, meow, 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 in Jesus' name. Yeah? What's your name?
Briley,
I'm hoping to hear a good report about your aunt's cat, okay? Look, it's like, yeah, we're going to do it. There, just pray over that thing, right? We're going to do it. But, I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Y'all seen this before? Yo, that's not us, y'all. Like, we're not in the flesh if we're in the spirit. Like, it's done. Hebrews 8 solidifies it in the New Testament. Like, people, you know, we do this thing. We're like, well, you know, Jeremiah says that the heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can trust it? Nobody could trust an Adam one heart. That's why we kicked it to the curb in Jesus' name. Well, you know, you got to watch out for us because I got these hidden things. Why do you have hidden things if you are the light of the world? Put them to death in the secret place because you don't live according to that anymore. And that's what we call people to then when they come into our corporate body. We hold them accountable to the holiness that we believe is theirs as a gift. So that when they begin to live contrary to that holiness, we don't establish it via sympathy. And we're like, oh, well, you're always going to struggle. No, it's a lie. Hurry up and die and come back in because we love the mess out of you. Matter of fact, not come back in. You are a part of the community. Just give up this lie. You with me? And I promise you, if I'm lying, I'm flying. And I'm firmly planted. We've seen this over and over in the ministry. Have we not? We're tied. We're Tyler. Have you not? Over and over. We just got to call out that lie. Yo, you are one thing in Jesus' name. Clean. And I promise you, Jesus is not a poor cleaner. Like, he doesn't do a poor job. He just doesn't. You are new creation. That's the second lie. I mean, we could preach a week on that. The third and last one I just mentioned. The third and last one, and this one's the one probably going to get me in trouble, is the lie of sympathy. Sympathy. With passion, with pathos. Simpatico. Right? Yo, if somebody's living from deception, I'm not going to with, you know, sympathy literally means with passion, with pathos, simpatico, right? Seem coming from with, pathos, pathetic, passion. We good? Meaning like that thing together, right? Yo, if somebody's coming at me with the deception of Adam 1, telling me, oh, I'm really trying to be good, but I'm bad, and I don't know what to do because I still got this thing within me. Lie, 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 lie. I'm not going to then posture my heart and my feelings and establish that lie with them. And then enter that lie and be like, oh, well, I understand. It could be, you know what? No, 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 no. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not gentle and that we're not kind, right? We need to put away nice. Be kind. Nice? Meh. Nice is another pandemic amongst us. Go look at the etymology of nice. Go look at the history of the word nice and see if you want to be nice. It's a homework for tonight. Look at the history of the word nice. Tell me if you want to be nice. Perfectly mediocre. Adequate. You know, thank you, right? Let's be kind. Kind is patience applied. Patience lived. Let's be better than that. Let's be love because that's what we're called to. And so when we're love, it's not just sympathy. It's actually incarnation. Because we're willing to just go alongside with somebody until they get the truth of who they are real clear. I've got people I've journeyed with where I told them, listen, I'm going to journey with you for X amount of time from here on till we get this thing clear. I'm not going to sit here for one session and be like, oh, man, I feel you. I'm struggling. Blah, blah, blah. No, 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 no. I'm going to call you. I'm going to call you. Actually, there's people in this audience I promise that to. Now, if you're bold enough, and you don't have to, but if you're bold enough, raise your hand and acknowledge what I'm saying. If you've been under that influence with me, go ahead, raise that hand. Stand up. How often did I call you?
Every day.
Every day. Did I ever establish you in your wound? Nope. Why?
Because you wanted me to be established in the truth.
That's right. I ain't giving you no sympathy, but I'm gonna give you a whole bunch of love.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
You still living from that wound?
Nope. Yep.
Okay. That's all right. Y'all get what I'm saying? Tyler, you get what I'm saying? We hold each other accountable to the holiness that is ours because we know who we are. We read about each other in the book. Jesus Christ is alive and he's established us in it. We don't hold something over people's head, but we correct them through the value of who they are. We don't reduce the truth to us feeling along with their Adam 1 feelings. No, we can recognize their Adam 1 feelings, and then we could tell them in the gentlest, kindest way, feelings aren't Lord. And then we can communicate the truth of what the Father says about them, and we could tell them how the blood speaks a better word. And we can establish them in truth. That's the job of the body, y'all. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Fellas, come on up. We got a gift we want to give you, PVC, after we read this. We got a gift we want to give you. My man Will has a gift for y'all. Hebrews 10, I think it's verse, can we read from verse 19? Just read this. This is good. 584, Hebrews 10. Therefore, brothers, sisters, you guys there with me? Page 584. How you doing from here? My man. Therefore, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, you know why we have confidence? Because we know who we are in him, and children have confidence to go into their parents' bedroom. Don't they?
Yeah.
Huh? It don't matter what, you just open up. Mommy! Man, my little nephew, that little dude, man. I'll be at the house of talking to my sister, that little dude. Man. Kids are something else. I don't have kids of my own, but I've been watching my sister's kid. Man, that little, like, I cannot believe, like, my sister's hardcore. She's a hard woman, like, in the sense that she's strong. This little four-year-old pocket of flesh, ain't about this yay big, he will move my sister from here to there. Oh, my God, my sister who's so difficult with me and just so stern. You remember me? She even beat Will, right? Like, my sister is, right? And this little knucklehead done been in the world not 4 years. He said, Mama, juice. My sister, get up off the couch. I said, hold on, baby. Let me get you some juice. I like, now, ain't this about a something? Parents, that's the love, right? How much more is your Father in heaven willing to meet you when you come to him in confidence? Because you know who you are. Listen to verse 20. By the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. You don't need nothing. In full assurance of our faith with our hearts sprinkled what? Clean from an evil conscience. So I don't need something from somebody because that's where evil begins. Evil begins when you require, I need from you and I hold back for myself. That's the beginning of evil. We don't need that. We got a clean heart. And watch. Hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience with our bodies washed with pure water. Somebody say amen to that. Pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Even when somebody needs sympathy, we don't waver from the assurance and confession and confidence in our hope. For he who has promised is what? Faithful. Ask Tyler about it. Ask Jayla about it. Ask somebody else. Ask somebody about his faithfulness. And let us consider, look at verse 24. Let us consider how to stir up one another to what? To love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as we see the day drawing near. I hope you're receiving what I'm sharing with you as an encouragement so that we might know how to live as we see the day drawing near, drawing full heart, full assurance, not living according to some corporate lives that we've believed. We are the body of Christ. We are redeemed and made whole. We need nothing from no one, for Christ has given us all things, but we're wise and discerning. We live in the banner of forgiveness, for he has released us from the curse by becoming a curse for us. He identified with us through the flesh, but he did not give himself over to the passions of the flesh. Sympathy. He didn't give himself over to the passions of the flesh. He drew us away from the passions of the flesh by him putting them to death and calling us to higher. He sees us, he knows our weakness, and yet he calls us beloved and says, rise in what I've given you. Do not stay in the Adam 1 feelings. Rise through spirit because of what you are, clean and pure, and live a life according to the identity I've spoken over you. Yeah? Is that all right? So he speaks better things. He speaks better things. My man Will has written a song this week for PVC. A song for PVC for this week. And I just thought that was just such an awesome, cool gift to leave behind. A song for this house that marks this week. These boys are going to teach it to you, and we're going to call it a night. So, Father, we thank you that the blood speaks a better word over our lives, and that as a body, we're no longer captive to the lies, and we can live from truth. Continue to establish holiness in our lives so that we might reveal your life to the world and bring you glory. We receive this, we believe this, in Jesus' name, and for his sake, amen. Be blessed. Amen. Have a great night.